Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Since we're justified by faith, Romans 5 and verse 10, we're saved by faith, Ephesians 2 and verse 8, and the just shall live by faith, Romans 1 and 17, and without faith it is impossible to please him, Hebrews 11, 6, and we're to grow in faith, 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, it becomes imperative to know faith is gained and how it is generated. We're not born with faith. We did not always possess faith. There was a time in our infancy and early childhood when we were mentally incapable of faith. And how is faith, the faith that saves and justifies, how is it created in the human heart? And by what process does it grow? Romans 10, verses 11 through 17, is a passage of tremendous significance in our step-by-step procedure of our subject of the transmission of faith. Now, as we read this passage of Scripture, please keep in mind, we're not reading from the creeds of men. We're not reading from some discipline, some manual, some catechism. We're reading, Thus saith the Lord. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, friend, the subject here is salvation. Salvation is the goal. Before salvation, one must call on God. But before he can call, he must believe. And before he can believe, he must hear. And before he can hear, there must be the proclamation of the Word. Salvation, you see, begins with the Word of God. Romans 10:17 again, So then faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Dear listening friend, the message of heaven, relayed to man, makes faith, calling on God, and salvation possible. And would you just please parenthetically notice that there is something between faith and salvation? And what is it? It is said to be calling on God. So we know that one is not saved the moment he believes. There must be the calling on the God. And we must find out what that embodies. In John chapter 3, 3 through 5, it teaches the necessity of being born again. 1 Peter 1 and verse 23 teaches, We are born again by the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. Is it not obvious that without the Word there can be no new birth? And without the new birth there is no entrance into the kingdom of God? In Matthew 13, 1 through 9, it presents the parable of the sower. It is explained to us in verses 18 through 23, and also in the 8th chapter of Luke, where we read that the seed is the Word of God. Without the seed, there's no plant, no growth, no fruit, no salvation, John 15, verses 2 and 8. To create faith, the apostles went forth preaching and teaching the Word of God, Matthew 28, 1 through 20, Mark 16, 15 and 16. This is the reason Paul taught Timothy to preach the Word, 2 Timothy 2:2. Scripture reveals no other way whereby faith is transmitted to and created in the heart or mind of the human being. Acts 14 and verse 1, Paul went from city to city, and so spake that a great multitude, both of Jews and also Greeks, believed. Notice, he spoke. It was by the words that he spoke that they believed. Acts 15 and verse 7, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Again, there must be the hearing of the word before there is the faith or belief. In Acts 18 and verse 8, many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. In James 1, verses 18 and also 21, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. And we're admonished to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And friend, only by the word can one grow spiritually, 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. Today we must tell the same apostolic teaching to lead people to have faith and to call on God and to be saved. Our message is embodied in the inspired, infallible, inerrant, authoritative, and all-sufficient Scripture. And as John wrote, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Everyone who believes, somewhere, sometime, must first have been taught the word of God, because the way of salvation is the way of teaching. It is the way of learning, John 6, 44 and 45. Nothing further really needs to be said for us to know the absolute necessity of biblical knowledge. We cannot be saved, we cannot grow, we cannot produce without it. It makes one wonder why Bible classes are not filled each time that people meet to study. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Let us consider some erroneous and misleading doctrines that are put forth by some as to how one gains faith. Friend, faith is not created by a Bible lying on the table gathering dust. Now, it seems some must think so. They must think the Bible is like a magic wand. They have it around for good luck. They only consult it at weddings and funerals or when some question or argument arises. They have several Bibles, possibly. But a Bible unread and unstudied is of no value. You might not even consider throwing it out on the garbage heap, but as far as your spiritual welfare is concerned, you might as well do that. One buys a Bible, or maybe he's given one, but it must be studied in order to have faith. I wonder if it's honorable and fair to read the Scripture over a corpse of a person who has rejected the Bible throughout life. Faith is not transmitted existentially, that is, through confrontation with crisis or some experience, possibly a tragedy in life. It is true that some events in life shake a person loose from that which he has been holding to, and he becomes aware that he lacks what is needed. Some experience may make one more receptive. It may make him more open-minded. He may be even more willing to hear the truth. How many people, parents, mates, friends, have even prayed that something might happen that would cause the unbeliever to consider the gospel. But such events of themselves never produce faith. Without teaching, without learning, without knowing, without hearing the word, one will not know and cannot know what to believe. Tragedy might break the hard crust on the soil of the heart, but only the seed can produce faith. Faith does not come, friend, by prayer apart from the word. Now, prayer is good, but it will not, by itself, produce faith. The apostolic message must be planted at the heart. To pray but not study is folly. There is no need to expect prayer to be answered favorably regarding others if those others will never consider the word. Paul prayed that the Jews might be saved, Romans 10, 1 and 2, but he spent his life seeking opportunity to teach them the truth that they must hear. Faith is not created by some kind of direct operation of the Holy Spirit, such as that is never taught in the Bible. The Holy Spirit brought the word, as Jesus had promised in John chapters 14, 15 and 16. As we see that operated in Acts chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2, Galatians 1. And the Holy Spirit does operate on the human heart. But he does so by the use of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Ephesians 6 and verse 17. The heart that rejects the Word rejects the Spirit. People who clamor for and wait until the Spirit will send them some kind of direct operation upon them, they clamor and they wait in vain. Those who have been taught, those who have learned, are those who are drawn to God. John 6:44-45. If people could be made to believe by some direct operation of the Holy Spirit, we would not need preaching. We wouldn't need missionaries. We wouldn't need Bibles. All we would need is for the Holy Spirit to get busy. And if He didn't operate on some, whose fault would it be? Why do people try to blame God for the lack of faith when they neglect and reject the means that God has provided to produce faith? Faith is not transmitted through inheritance. Some may say, well, nobody claims that anyway. Well, maybe not. But some act like it. Some seem to think if their mates or their children or their parents have faith, that will suffice for them. Ancestors who believe are great blessings and great examples. Godly parents will be attentive to seeing their children are taught. But if anyone has the faith that they must have to be saved, it will be because they have learned and they have believed, not because somebody else did. Regardless of the faith of others, we cannot be saved on a borrowed faith. Faith does not come simply by studying about the Bible. It is not produced by speeches that entertain. It is not created through recreational activities or following the doctrines and the theologies concocted by men or what some so-called professor or scholar might think. For this reason, we are confident that much that is called preaching and much activity by some churches misses the mark, because much being heard and done does not teach the message of God's Word. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. That this is the prime mission of the Lord's church is evident from 1 Timothy 3:16, that tells us that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. But one will not be saved simply because the Word is studied, or simply because it is preached. There must be acceptance of the Word and the obedience thereto. There are many so-called scholars in the world who know a great deal about the Bible. They even know much of the biblical message. But they do not accept what is taught in it, and therefore they have not obeyed it. And without the Word, there is no salvation. But the Word must not only be heard, it must be believed, it must be obeyed. By and through His Word, He has provided the evidence necessary to believe. If and when we accept that evidence, we will believe. When we truly believe, we will respond obediently. Does not such truth make you realize the importance of learning what the Bible teaches? May God ever help us to give ourselves to searching the Scriptures. This is where we will discover the will of God, and will then be able to do what we must do personally in order to enjoy salvation. And what is the blessing that we have from God's Word? It is our salvation. Friend, we must hear the Word. We must believe in Christ as the Son of God. We must repent of our sins. We must confess our faith in Christ. We must call upon the name of the Lord, and that is done when we are baptized into Christ. Acts 22:16. And we are to live a faithful and loyal life in Christ. This is the way we show our appreciation for what God has done. And we can show our appreciation for the Word, not only by hearing it, not only by studying it, not only by believing it, but by obeying it. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.